Who can remember our memory verse for our lost and found? Roscoe. Most of it's written there.
Oh, the Son of Man came to earth for and
close, very close.
The Son of Man came to look for and save people who are lost.
To look for and save people who are lost. Okay, so we've got this picture here. I can't quite remember how to draw it. Which is this half of the field?
Heaven.
And the other half of the field?
Earth.
Who's in heaven?
JC.
Yo. He's got a crown because he's a...
King.
Okay, and the king, Jesus, the Son of Man, he comes to do what? He comes somewhere? Okay, he comes to look for lost people. Fantastic. Lost peeps. Let's call them peeps. It's a cool way to say it. Lost peeps. Now, is the earth a light place or a dark place?
It's a lost place.
It's a lost place. Okay, it's a dark, dark place. And there's lots and lots of lost peeps that Jesus came to look for and to save. And now, what happens next? Well, I can't remember what happens next.
Jesus, draw a cross.
You draw a cross. That'd be a good thing to draw. So, Jesus... How does he seek, how does he look for, how does he find and save people? He does it by dying on the cross. And we're going to learn more about that tomorrow and the day after. So Jesus comes down, he looks for lost peeps and some lost sheeps, and he does that in his death on the cross. And then what was the next bit? I keep hearing it.
A U-turn.
So people are going this direction the wrong way, okay? They're going to run off the field in a moment. And what's a U-turn? Who made the noise last night? Everyone, okay? Did you do a U-turn? Turn back. Okay, so you've got two options. You can turn back to Jesus. You can trust him and follow him. Or what could you do if you're here and you don't do a U-turn?
Yeah.
You keep going your own way. And the Bible actually says that's a terrible thing to do, to keep going your own way, because you won't be friends with God. You won't be in heaven. It's not a good thing to do. And so the message that we're talking about this week is that Jesus came... Do you want to read it with me? Here we go. The Son of Man came to look for and save people who are lost. Fantastic. I want you to quickly talk to the person beside you. Similar to last night, here's the question I want you to talk about. Last night was fantastic. I said 5 seconds to go, and within that 5 seconds, everyone was quiet and listening. That was really good. We'll try to do that again. Here's the question. If you could fix one problem in the world, what problem would you fix? You got the question? If you could fix one problem in the world, what problem would you fix? 30 seconds, go. Okay, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Excellent. Okay, hand up if you want to share what thing, if there was a problem, what one problem in the world would you fix if you could do it? Yeah.
I'd fix all the poverty.
Fix all the poverty, that's a great one. Yeah.
Fix all the pain.
You'd fix the... Wait, this one here, what was that one?
Peace.
You'd bring about peace. Yeah, good one. Up there.
Fix all the pain and suffering in the world.
Great one. All of the pain and all of the suffering in the world. Three more, 1, 2, 3. Yeah.
I would fix our attitude towards global warming.
Yeah, okay. Fix people's attitudes towards global warming. Second last one.
What was it? Save animals from extinction.
Okay. Save animals from extinction. And there was one in here I pointed at. Who was it? Yeah.
Disease, like cancer and stuff.
Yeah, help to find cures. for diseases and things such as cancer. Now, you don't have to watch the news for long, or read the paper, or even walk down the street for long to realise that we live not really in a happy world. There's lots of good things that happen, but we actually live in a needy world. We heard that in the interview with Paul, that this world isn't brilliant. It is a messy type of world. And lots of you have come up with some really, really good ideas on how you could fix the world and problems that the world has. There's starving children, there are diseases that don't have cures. Places are running out of water. The drought in Australia, there's farmers who have a desperate, desperate situation. There might be a bit of water around here at the moment, but much of Australia do not have enough water. And people who are living on farms that really need the water aren't coping with it too well at all. There's so many needs in our world. And you don't have to be alive too long to realise that. And I've already worked out that you guys can see that there's lots and lots of needs in the world. And so I've got a question for you that we're going to ask of the Bible. And the question is, what does the world need most? What does the world need most? Is it an end to poverty? Is it an end to disease? Is it greater education on global warming? Is it what might well it be? I want you to think for a moment. What do you think it is? I don't want you to talk about it. But what does the world need most? No, you don't need to put your hand up. You don't need to put your hand up. What does the world need most? You see, we're going to meet a fella in the Bible today, a crippled man, and this crippled man had incredible needs. He was a paralyzed man. He was a man who couldn't walk. He was a man whose legs didn't work as they should. He was a man who had great needs. The crippled man that we're about to meet, he had great needs. I'll get you to open up that Bible passage that you've got there on page number 4, the one beside this page here. It says the crippled man at the top of the page. Get your figures ready. Okay, put them on verse number, sentence number 17. We're going to read for a little bit together. Okay, ready to follow along. Verse number 17. One day, some Pharisees and experts in the law of Moses sat listening to Jesus teach. The Pharisees and experts in the law, they're like religious-y type of people. Okay, and so they're sitting there listening to Jesus teach. Now it says, they had come from every village in Galilee and Judea and from Jerusalem. And God had given Jesus the power to heal the sick. And some people came carrying a crippled man on a mat. They tried to take him inside the house and put him in front of Jesus. But because of the crowd, they could not get him to Jesus. So they went up on the roof where they removed some tiles and let the mat down in the middle of the room. Now, we were going to demonstrate this today, but Danny thought it probably wasn't a good idea to fall through the roof because we might get in trouble for breaking the roof. But did you see what happened? There's so many people gathered around Jesus to hear what he's got to say, to see what he's got to do. That these four friends who are carrying their friend, their crippled friend who can't walk, they can't even get him in. And so what do? They make a hole in the roof and lower him through the roof and drop him in front of Jesus. But can you imagine this fella? Can you imagine what it would have been like to be a crippled man back then, 2,000 years ago, as opposed to now? You know, they didn't have the wheelchair stickers on their cars. They didn't have wheelchair parking at events and at the shopping centre. They didn't have elevators with wheelchair access. They didn't have all the ramps in their schools. Do you know what? They didn't have wheelchairs, let alone cars. It would have been difficult, a lot more difficult than we could even imagine, for someone to have not been able to use their legs in that type of a world. His life would have been a tough one. He had no mobility, no way of getting around. He had no means of transport, and it would also mean he didn't have any means of getting an income. He couldn't earn money. There wasn't some type of welfare system where you can get some money if that's the situation you're in. So he would have had a terrible life. He had great, great needs. Now, my nephew was born about 10 months ago, and while my sister was carrying my nephew, they'd actually discovered that he had a tumour in his lung, and it was pushing his heart to the side, and the doctors and all the people that were looking after him, they weren't sure if he'd survive. He did. He was born, and he's had lots of problems. A month ago or so, he had some major surgery to fix the problem and to cut out the tumour that was inside his lungs. But then this last Thursday night, they had to rush my nephew to the hospital for an emergency operation. His lung had collapsed and there was air that was leaking out of his lung. And so by Friday, he'd had the operation. By Saturday, he'd come out of the operation. And he's doing okay. He's got big needs. He's got big problems, big things that have to be dealt with in his life. But while we went and visited him on Saturday, we met families and met some people in the same room, in the same hospital room, where there's babies that were born a couple of months ago who are never going to leave the hospital. They'll die there in a year or so. The world has incredible needs, from children being sick, from adults with diseases, from all sorts of crazy, crazy things. And my guess is you probably know some people who have big physical needs, who have some big type of problems. Maybe they might be people in your family, maybe they might be people that you know from school. But this crippled man that we meet in the Bible, he is someone who had an incredible physical need. He had an incredible problem that needed to be fixed. And so what does he do? He goes to Jesus to have it fixed. And Jesus is the right guy to see, isn't he? As far as going to someone to get healed, to get fixed of your problem, Jesus could do it. So in 17 there it says, God had given Jesus the power to heal the sick. This is the day to do it. This was the day to go and visit Jesus. But, you know what happens? Jesus does the unexpected. Jesus does the unexpected. The crippled man, he had great needs. His legs didn't work. He came there because he knew Jesus could heal him. He knew Jesus could fix him. But Jesus does something quite unexpected. Have a look at sentence number 20. Get your finger out. Make sure you can follow along. See it with your eyes. See it with your hand. And here's what it says. So what's just happened? They've just lowered him through the roof. And here's what sentence 20 says. When Jesus saw how much faith they had, he said to the crippled man, "My friend, your sins are forgiven." Now, what's going on there? Why do you think that's unexpected? What would they have been expecting to happen? Yeah.
Him to heal him.
Him to heal him. He comes along without legs, and Jesus says to the man without legs, who's come to have his legs fixed, "Your sins are forgiven?" Well, no, Jesus, I want to be able to walk. That's why I came to see you, Jesus, because I want to be able to walk. Now, who likes going to the dentist?
Oh, no.
I don't mind going to the dentist. I didn't go for about 15 years. I've had to go a few times recently, and I've got a lot of metal in my mouth now. But when you go to the dentist, what do you expect will happen? They will do some stuff with your teeth. They'll open your mouth. They'll shove their hand in there. You go, and you've got spit all going down the back of your throat. Now, that's what normally happens when you go to the dentist. You get your teeth looked at, because that's what dentists do. Can you imagine going to the dentist? You kick back in the chair. They recline you, they recline you, they recline you. You open your mouth, and they start painting your toenails with polish. Can you imagine that?
No.
You can't imagine that. That's an unexpected thing to happen. What do dentists do? Dentists fix your teeth. They don't go and put nail polish on your toes. Boys, don't put nail polish on your toes at all. It's probably a good lesson to learn from a boys' camp. But that's an unexpected thing for the dentist to work on your feet as opposed to working on your mouth. And so this is an unexpected thing that's going on with Jesus here. This man has come to get his legs fixed. He wants to be able to walk, and Jesus says your sins are forgiven. Have a look at the next sentence, sentence number 21. The Pharisees, so the religious nuts, and the experts began arguing, "Jesus must think he is God. Only God can forgive sins." So these religious peeps, these religious guys, they're gone super cranky pants. Okay, they're not too happy when Jesus says to this guy, "Your sins are forgiven." Do you know why? Do you see what it says? Jesus must think he is God, because only God can forgive sins. Now, so what it's saying there is, imagine this is God, okay? Here's Jesus. Here's the crippled man. The crippled man has sinned against who? God. And so Jesus comes along and says, hey, crippled man, you're forgiven. What's wrong with that picture?
Crippled man can't really do much.
Okay, that's not quite what's wrong with the picture. What's wrong with the picture? God's the one that's been offended. So when Jesus comes along and says, you're forgiven, well, what's going on there? I need three volunteers. Three volunteers. One, two, three. Was your hand even up?
No.
Three. Was your hand up? Okay, come out the front. Okay, I need your soccer playing names. Is it?
JJ
is your soccer playing name.
Chef.
Cam. Okay. Now, we've got two red team guys, so is it Cam? Okay. JJ, you're out on the soccer field. Come in front of the board. We can't see it. How good is it? He's got the yellow shirt on, which means he wants to change teams. I've got the red shirt on, which means I want to change teams. Okay. Now, imagine we're out on the soccer field. Cam, do you want to come over here for a bit? Just come over to the side. Okay. Chef's got the ball. Come on. You guys are like asleep. Wake up. Okay, Chev's got the ball. He's dribbling. That's a pretty good dribble. And over comes JJ. He punches him in the face. Don't really do it. Yeah. No, you don't punch him. JJ punches him in the face. Okay, kicks him in the man bits. Ouch. Kicks him. He falls down. This is really... Go down. While he's down there, JJ kicks him one more time. Bang. Okay. And then the game's over. After the game, jump up. Cam comes over. Cam. And Cam says, JJ.
Yeah?
I forgive you.
For kicking Chev.
Okay, what's wrong here? What's wrong? Other than the really bad acting. What's wrong with the situation, yeah?
JJ didn't do anything to Cam,
did he? So who's Cam to come along and say, JJ, I forgive you for kicking Chev? Does that make sense?
No.
He can't do it, can he? Who's the one that can forgive JJ?
Chev.
Why?
Because he got bashed up.
He was the one that got bashed up. He's the one that's been offended. So what's happening is... Jesus is coming along and he's actually saying, crippled man, I forgive you. And these religious teachers are saying, Jesus, who are you? How can you say, I forgive you? Jesus, only God could say that. Can you give a big clap to these guys here? So why are they super cranky pants? They're super cranky pants because they think that Jesus, by saying to this man, your sins are forgiven, they think that Jesus is actually claiming to be God, claiming to be the God of the universe. Now, you may not have, as we said yesterday, you may not have heard much about Jesus before this camp. But here's something that Jesus claims that I want you to learn on this camp. Jesus claims not only to be able to fix people's physical needs and their physical problems, but he actually comes along claiming to be able to fix people's spiritual needs. That is, he comes along and claims that he can forgive people of their sin. And in doing this, you know what he shows us? Jesus actually shows us what our greatest need is. Jesus shows us what our greatest need is. You know, why did the man come to see Jesus? We've already said it. What did he want done? He wanted to be healed. What does Jesus say? Son, your sins are forgiven. Jesus, in doing that, he's actually showing that what matters more than even physical healing is spiritual healing. Is to be forgiven of sin. Our greatest need your greatest need, every single person in the world's greatest need, is not that they can walk, not that they can even kick a ball well, but their greatest need is that they be forgiven of their sin. Now, I've talked about sin a couple of times. We talked about it last night. What is sin? What is sin? What are some ideas on what sin is? Go.
Sin is disobeying God.
Okay, sin could be disobeying God, yeah.
Not believing in God?
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Stealing.
Stealing is a type of sin, okay. Anything else? Yeah.
Killing.
Killing.
And suicide.
Killing and suicide could well be types of sin. Sin, let me tell you what sin is. Sin is not just a list of naughty things like killing or stealing. It's more than that. Sin is like missing a goal. Okay, imagine there's a goal, soccer goal. You've got the ball at your feet. Sin is like missing the goal time after time after time. There were some of you yesterday who missed the goal time after time after time. Sin is like that. Sin is when we don't hit the target, when we don't live the way God wants us to live. We miss the mark. We're supposed to hit the goal, and we just keep shooting off to the side, keep shooting off to the side. We keep missing that goal. Sin is when we don't live how God wants us to live. Sin is when we disobey God. Sin ultimately is... Well, let me tell you a story. Is it okay to talk about rugby league on a soccer camp?
Yeah.
No. Okay. We'll, Barry said amen, so that means we have to talk about rugby league at least once. Okay, now there's a big game that happens each year between two states. Does anyone know what it's called?
State of
Origin. Who are the two teams?
Queensland
and New South Wales. Oh, we've got some Queensland supporters.
Yeah, Queensland.
Who knows the greatest, probably one of the greatest Queensland players of, let's say, the 1980s into the 90s? There's probably mainly one.
Oh,
I'm thinking of
that awesome guy,
Wally Lewis.
Wally Lewis is his name. Who's heard of Wally Lewis? Okay, about half of us have heard of Wally Lewis. Let me tell you about Wally Lewis. Wally Lewis was known as King Wally Lewis. Okay, and if you go up to the football stadium in Queensland now, you'll actually see a bronze statue of King Wally Lewis holding a trophy. And do you know what people used to do when Wally Lewis played? They'd be in the crowd going like this. Wally, can you do it with me? Wally, 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 New South Welshman, Wally. That's what they do. They treated King Wally Lewis like a king.
I'm going to kiss it when I go to Queensland.
He's going to kiss a statue? That's gross. A statue of a man? Even grosser. Okay, there's this king. There's this statue of King Wally Lewis. And he was considered to be the king of rugby league, particularly in the 1980s, particularly in Queensland, which means he was about in the top 100 players, but because he was a Queenslander, he was the number one for Queensland. Now, there's a TV commercial for a particular fast food restaurant. What does this mean to anyone? Burger King, Hungry Jack's, whichever one.
No, it means
a Stunner Meal.
That's it.
Coffee.
Shit.
Oh, thank you. Sorry, I was just dreaming of eating a Whopper. Okay, there was this commercial a couple of years ago, and it had King Wally Lewis in it. He was now retired. He's sitting in the stadium watching a game of football, and this dweeby little fella who's got a Whopper in his hands rocks up, sits next to King Wally Lewis. He's got his burger out. Before he was about to take a chomp into his burger, he looks up at King Wally Lewis and he says, "You're not the king." He's probably a New South Welshman. "You're nothing. I'm the king." Goes to take a chomp out of his burger. King Wally Lewis, what does he do? Bang! Does the smackdown on the dweeby little fella and shows him who really is the king. Do you know what? That's like what sin is. We're these dweeby little people, these small little ants, who wave our puny little fists at God and say, "You're not the king, God. I'm the king. You're nothing." That's what we've said to God. And that, if you understand that story, you've actually started to understand what sin is and how foolish sin is and how much we've offended God when little people like us say to a big God like God, "You're not God, I'm going to be God." And ultimately, That is what sin is. And the Bible says that we've all sinned. And the Bible says that our greatest need is what? It's not world peace. It's not global warming and to be educated on it. It's not to be able to play sport well. It's not even poverty and people in hospitals who need great treatment. What does the world need most? That's our big question. What is the world's greatest need? It's to be forgiven of sin. It's for God to say, I forgive you for your sin. Shh. You're not in the shower. No need to sing right now. What is the world's greatest need? What is your greatest need? It's to be... What does the world need most? What the world needs most is to be forgiven of their sin. And Jesus comes along and says, I can do that. I can forgive you of your sin. Now, I want you to imagine a soccer field again. And imagine that you got injured on the soccer field and you got two injuries. Okay, one of them is you broke a fingernail as you fell over. Okay? The other one is, as you fell over, you broke your leg in five places. You're lying on the ground. The trainer comes on. You got one of those in your team, a trainer. They run on with the magic water. Yeah, you know that stuff that fixes everything. Imagine the trainer runs on and starts looking at your fingernail and putting a band-aid where there's a little bit of blood on your finger. What's wrong with that picture? Yeah.
Your leg's broken.
Your leg is broken in five places. That's what's wrong with the picture. Do you know what's wrong with the world? People think that our greatest need are some type of physical needs. Jesus comes along and says, no, your greatest need is not some little broken fingernail, is actually to be forgiven by God. Your greatest need, no matter what injuries you get, and you will get injuries. Soccer is a sport where you will get an injury, probably this week. If not this week, probably this season. If not this season, within the next year or so, you'll probably get a pretty bad injury. You might even break a bone. Broken bones, physical problems aren't our greatest need. Jesus shows us that our greatest need is to be forgiven of sin. Our greatest need is not to get money, is not to get a girlfriend. Our greatest need is not to get good marks at school, not even to drink water, not to have friends, not even to play soccer every weekend. They're good things, but the greatest need that you have and that I have and that the whole world has is to be forgiven by God for our sin. Do you know what the good news is? Jesus comes along and says to this crippled man, look, I can forgive your sin. And Jesus actually has
the right to forgive
sin. Well done. Do you know why that's good news? It means our greatest problem can be fixed by Jesus. Have a look at the last few verses there. Sentence number 22. We'll just read this bit and we're almost finished. I'll pray in a moment. We'll split up into our groups and we'll keep learning some more things. But have a look at sentence number 23. Get your finger out, ready to follow along. What's just happened? The crippled man has come along. He wants to be fixed. Jesus says, hey, your sins are forgiven. The religious guys go, you can't say that, Jesus. You're crazy. Only God can say something like that. Have a look at 22. He says, Jesus knew what they were thinking and he said, why are you thinking that? Sentence number 23. Is it easier for me to tell this crippled man that his sins are forgiven or to tell him to get up and walk? Which one do you think it is?
Get up and walk.
Which one's easier to say?
Sins are forgiven.
Sins are forgiven.
Get up and walk.
Get up and walk. Okay.
Go away.
The easier one to say is obviously your sins are forgiven. Why? You can't really see that it's happened or not. The easy one to say is your sins are forgiven, but in reality, the easier one to do is actually to heal someone. People can do that. People can actually heal people, whether it's through medicine over a long time or some type of miraculous thing. But see what Jesus does next. Have a look at sentence number 24. But now you will see that the Son of Man, Jesus, has the right to forgive sins here on earth. Jesus then said to the man, get up, pick up your mat and walk home. And at once everyone was amazed as they saw that. You see what happens? Because it's easier to say you're forgiven, but it's hard to show it. It's an invisible type of thing. So it might well be harder to say be healed, but it's actually easier to do. And so do you see what Jesus does? He does the visible thing, that is, heals the guy's broken legs to show that he can do the invisible thing, that is, forgive people like the crippled man, like you, of sin. Why can he forgive? Remember back to our soccer playing pitcher? Because he's the one that's been offended. So when the religious teachers say, who is this? How can you say that, Jesus? Jesus is claiming to be God. Do you know what's actually going on? Jesus actually is
God.
Why can Jesus forgive your sin, which is against God? Because Jesus is God. Jesus is the one who's been offended. Why can Jesus forgive my sin? Because Jesus is God. I've offended Jesus, and so Jesus is the one that can actually say, David, I forgive you. The whole reason why Jesus came on his rescue mission, the Son of Man came to look for and save people who are lost, was so that he could deal with our greatest need, so that we could be forgiven of our sin. I'm going to finish with the question we asked yesterday. Are you lost or found?
Lost.
Oh. I don't need you to answer that one out loud. Are you lost or found?
Lost.
All of us are lost at one time, whether you know it or not. Whether you know you're living in darkness or not, all of us are lost. The question is, have you come to Jesus to be found? Have you come to Jesus and put your trust in him? Done that U-turn and turned back to live for him and not for yourself? Tomorrow, as I said before, we're going to learn more about Jesus' death and how Jesus' death makes all of this stuff happen. But I'm going to pray, and then I'll hand back over to Graham, and he'll tell us about our small groups. Let's pray together. Dear God, we thank you for the crippled man that we could meet in the Bible today, and we thank you that Jesus forgave him, and we thank you that in that we see that Jesus has the authority, that Jesus has the right to forgive sins, because Jesus is God come amongst us. We thank you for Jesus, and we pray that you would help us to see that he can forgive our sins, and that you would help us also to see that we have sinned against him. Please help us to trust Jesus, and please help us to learn more about him now in our study groups and throughout the day as we play soccer and as we have fun and as we eat food, that we would keep thinking about these things. And we pray that you'd help us to no longer be lost, but to be found in Jesus. And it's in his name that we pray. Amen. Very quickly, in our study groups, we're going to meet two people. I want you to look out for them. Oh, that could hurt. I want you to look out for them. There's two people. They're both lost. One realizes it. One doesn't. Okay? That's a little preview on what's to come. Thanks, Graham.
Just before we go, you'll see.